Hello, and welcome to the UX Hustle podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Worthington. The goal of UX Hustle is to help UX designers design the career they love, maximizing the benefit of this multifaceted industry and strong community. We talk about what's really going on in UX and what it's like working in it, and interview people that are actively navigating their careers and UX. We don't expect to have all the answers, but we do keep searching, keep listening, and learning. Because at the end of the day, you are the user of your career. All right. Well, welcome to the UX Hustle podcast, Maggie. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you. Yeah, so excited to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Of course. So can you tell us a little bit about your business and who you work with?
Yeah, so I am a business coach for mainly for busy moms, but really for anyone that has a business. So I've owned a business of some sort for the last 15 years. I started out in photography, moved into yoga studio ownership, and now here I am at business coaching, which kind of seems like none of those fit together, but I really feel like all of them really do fit together in a really like odd, wonderful way, right? Like being a photographer gave me the ability and confidence to speak in front of people, and then teaching yoga gave me this little mindset piece that I didn't know was missing. Also kind of just furthered my love for being around people, interacting with people, and just encouraging people to step out of their shell and into their possibility of whatever it is they're doing. And I've spent a lot of time with a lot of friends who are also entrepreneurs, just giving them advice and coaching them through just all kinds of different things over the years, whether that's business advice or, you know, navigating all of the things that come up when you're an entrepreneur. You know, where do you find an accountant? Where do you find a social media person? How do you find someone who can redo your website? All of those things. So just really kind of accumulation of all kinds of cool, fun roads that have led me here to business coaching.
I love that because it really speaks to, I don't know, like that's been my experience too, of you figure out who you are and the kinds of things that you want to be doing through doing other things.
Yeah, I know. It's so crazy. It's so cool. It's so crazy, but so cool.
It is. And like, it's also, I don't know if this has been your experience, but every time you get into something new, you don't expect it to take you to something else.
Absolutely. I never expected to go from photography to yoga to business coaching. So just a really, really cool trip.
That's awesome. And tell me a little bit about the women that you work with.
So a lot of the women that I work with are moms, and I am also a mom myself. So, you know, I find it pretty easy to relate to moms, especially moms of little ones. I have a 4-year-old and a 6-month-old. So I am in the thick of it with all the things, trying to navigate 4-year-old life, which is like no other. People tell me to hold on for teenage years, but I feel like she's a three-nager, is what she was. So 4 is a little better than 3. But it's still a wonderful ride, you know, and then navigating back into the newborn phase of, you know, welcoming Jackson into the world and like just forgetting all the little nuances that newborns have. And then on top of that all, I'm a business owner, so, you know, I'm my own boss, and yeah, I can take as much time off as I want, but that also doesn't answer any of the stuff that's happening while I'm off. So navigating, you know, trying to take time off to rest and reset while also being present for my business and not letting literally all of the things just kind of fall wherever they might land, so.
Right. And also being present with your family and life.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. So a lot of my clients are in very similar situations, whether they have kids that are preschool or just getting into school, or they've just had babies, or, you know, any of that kind of like where your hands are like all over the place and you're like, okay, I have to balance all these things because they all bring me a lot of joy. And how do I do it all but not burn myself out?
That's the big question.
Yeah, it is. It is.
How do I do it all without burning out?
Right. Yes.
I think I just asked someone that this morning. I think I asked my coach that. I was like, so I'm trying to do everything, but I'm really tired. And it's like, oh, maybe you should take some things off your plate.
Yes, absolutely. Take some things off your plate. Also, it's okay to rest. I can't tell you the amount of times that I've told my clients that if you're feeling tired, go and rest. You have permission to rest, right? That's probably the biggest thing that when I work with people, they're like, oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. Everything is chaos. And how do I navigate through that? And sometimes it literally just comes down to giving yourself the ability to take an hour off, take an afternoon off, right? Like start small, nourish yourself, and then come back to what you're doing. So, and that's one thing yoga taught me, like nourishing the self allows you to just give exponentially more.
Mm, I love that. Because I feel like this is one of those things that I thought going into business for myself would fix like all those problems that I was feeling even in corporate of trying to do everything, of burning myself out. And spoiler alert, I think I've said this on the podcast before, it does not fix everything.
No.
In fact, it just takes away the excuse of blaming other people because there's only you.
Right. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Now you just have yourself to blame and you wear all the hats from being the face of the business to IT to, you know, HR and everything in between. So
wow, we're making
it's wonderful.
Yeah, we're making business sound awesome. Right?
Yes, it really is though, like because you truly do get to decide everything you want to do, right? Like as like, oh my God, that sounds like a lot of pressure to make all those choices. Like you also get the freedom to make all those choices. And, you know, again, something that yoga really taught me was that like I get to do these things, I don't have to. And then coaching kind of further cemented that in is like everything you do is a choice. You know, you don't have to go to work. Are there implications of not going to work? Yes, absolutely. You don't have to be in business for yourself, but you get to. So it's a choice of what you're doing.
That's so true. Because sometimes I get into that mindset of forgetting how much choice I have.
Right.
Or even making myself stick to choices I've made in the past, even if they're not what's best for me right now.
Right.
Knowing that I can choose differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. And I think understanding that I had the choice, and I still have the choice to do what I do, you know, that makes some of the burden of like, oh my gosh, I have to fix this thing on Facebook. I posted the wrong thing, or, you know, I didn't send out the newsletter when I said I was going to, or, you know, so on and so forth. Like it, I get to do those things. So not being like quite so hard on yourself when you're like miss deadlines or you kind of fall off the bandwagon, like, yes, okay, be accountable for that, but also give yourself a little grace, right? Like what else is going on in your life that you know, have to navigate that maybe you didn't get this thing done when you wanted it to be done.
Yes. Because I am often my harshest critic.
Yeah.
And put a lot of pressure on myself to do things a certain way or within a certain timeline and not acknowledging life things. Like, I am not a mother. I have a dog.
I feel like that still counts. If you can care for a dog, you can care for kids. And even if you don't want kids, if you care for pets, that 100% counts.
Well, thank you for saying that. Although I stress out about my dog, I acknowledge it is not the same as caring for a small human.
I mean, there are differences, but I will say, like, having a dog before I had kids definitely helped a little bit.
Oh, I can totally see all the things that I will struggle with, like control and worrying and
yeah.
I care so much. And I can just tell that. Right. And that's something that we've talked about, my fiance and I, like, okay, so like if we have kids, we need to chill out. We need to not have to control every single thing, because we just know that's not going to work.
Yes. Yeah. Letting go of control it's important. And maybe not total control, but like the nuanced things, right? Like the little tiny things where it's like, okay, I cannot control that right now, and it's going to be okay. Like, no one is dying, no one is on fire, and we are fine.
Yes. And it's like, my fiance coaches basketball. Mm-hmm. And so basketball allegedly has a season. It's really all year.
I was going to say, a year-long thing.
Yeah. But there's like one main season.
Right.
And I have to remember that of, oh, my quality time with my fiance is going to dip. My balance is going to be off. Mm-hmm. And as long as I'm aware of that and can keep that perspective, I can figure out where my needs need to be.
Right. And it also makes you appreciate the little things more. Like, right, you know, during that busy basketball season, you know, when you have like, okay, we literally only have an hour together tonight, you know, otherwise we're going to be asleep. Like, let's make the most of it, you know, like. Mm-hmm. And it just makes that quality time that much more better. Makes it more better.
More better. Yes, it really does. And I'm curious too, because I'm thinking of people that are listening that maybe are in corporate, are looking at getting into corporate, but are also maybe thinking, what would it look like to start my own business?
Mm-hmm.
How would I even get started on that, or even figure out if that's the right thing for me?
Yeah. So I also worked a corporate job many moons ago. Right after I graduated college, I was like, yep, I am going to get this corporate job and I'm just going to do photography on the side. And that's just going to be my life, right? Like, I went to college, I've got a degree, everything is great. And then I got into corporate and I was like, oh, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. So I had this little like photography thing on the side, and, you know, I started thinking like, what would it look like if I actually turned this into a business? Cause I had thought about it when I first got a camera and, you know, started literally bothering everyone to take their pictures. Like, anytime anyone on Facebook in 2008, which I know was a hot minute ago, but anytime I saw anyone like, oh, I need family pictures, I would be like, yes, me, please choose me. I will take your photos. So, right, if you're in corporate, you're starting this side hustle, or you have a side hustle, like, literally tell everyone about your thing. You might not be for everyone, but chances are there are people who want whatever you're doing, right? So for me, it was photography. I know a plethora of people who I've taken pictures of their kids since 2008. So I've literally watched these kids grow up and now they're all in college. And I'm like, how has this much time passed? But also, like, the progression of, you know, like, side hustle to business, it really kind of just flowed really naturally, right? So, you know, working in corporate, I would do the 9-to-5 thing, and then I would come home and I would just put all of my energy that I had into the photography business, whether that was, you know, talking to clients or posting blogs, you know, taking pictures, everything, just really continuing to like hone in that craft. And one thing that I noticed from being in corporate and then leaving corporate and then transitioning into yoga studio ownership was that like somewhere along the way, I forgot to tell people that, hey, I'm doing this thing. And I stopped bothering people about, you know, my things, mm-hmm. whether that was photography or yoga or now business coaching. And, you know, you have to tell people that you're open, that you have this thing or people aren't going to know. I heard someone say the other day, you know, you have to tell people if you're online, if you're on Facebook or social media, whatever, you have to tell people like, I don't know, 50 plus times about whatever your craft is before they're like, oh, hey, she's a business owner. She does XYZ. I think I need that service. So really just, it's going to sound like a bad record to you, like you're skipping record just over and over and over saying the same thing. But that's the one thing that when you're starting out, tell everyone, be excited, like let your excitement drive and people are going to be like, oh, she's really excited about that. I got to check this out. She's always on the horn about it. She's talking about it. I got to go to her website and see what this thing is about. And maybe it's for me.
Oh, I just have to laugh when you say it. She's on the horn about this. Like, I love, you bring me back to my Midwestern roots and I just love it.
Yeah, it's definitely a Midwestern thing.
And yeah, like marketing yourself is such an underrated thing. I know that when I started my business and especially when I was side hustling, I was like, I'm doing this thing over here. Like,
right.
And not shouting it, you know, from the rooftops. And I still struggle with that.
Yeah.
Especially if you're in a place of transition.
Yes.
I think this goes for people in corporate as well. Mm-hmm. Of if you're changing careers or especially if you're changing careers.
Right.
If you're in any kind of transition, that's the time that we don't want to talk about it.
Right.
And it's the scary time when we need to.
Yeah. It's so scary to make those shifts from like when I bought the yoga studio, I was like, oh my God, am I doing the wrong thing? What am I doing? People know me for photography. They don't know me for yoga, even though my yoga classes were full, like I was teaching to 30 students every time I taught yoga. I was like, oh no, I'm not. I'm a photographer, right? And then I bought the yoga studio and I'm like, no, you know what? I'm a good yoga teacher and come to my yoga studio, you know? And then transitioning from yoga studio to business coaching, that transition, I mean, obviously it was during the pandemic, so that was also real weird, like just a very weird time for everyone. And then like choosing to make that switch was like, I found myself thinking the same thing. Oh my God, people know me for yoga and photography. What do I have to offer anyone? And my business coach said to me, she's like, you have 15 years of business experience. 15, that is a long time. You have a lot of knowledge about a lot of things. Shout that from the rooftops. Like, don't play small. Like, be your biggest cheerleader and don't be ashamed of it. If someone is coming at you being like, oh, you talk about yourself too much, then they're not for you. And that's okay. Like, that's their problem. That's not your problem.
Mm. There's so much good advice in that of just like,
I know,
like how tough that is.
It is.
And how important it is to be your own biggest cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
And carrying through with that excitement and sharing with people how good you are.
Right.
And, you know, I've heard other people say things like, think about the people you're hurting by not helping them, by them not knowing about you.
Right.
And sometimes that feels like a lot of pressure for me. I'm like,
it is.
Okay, that kind of paralyzed me more.
Yeah.
But sometimes it does kick me into gear when I can think of especially specific people.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, I could really help them. Mm-hmm. And the idea of not helping them makes me sad.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when you're in that fight or flight, breathless situation where you're like scared because it's like, oh, this is giving me anxiety. If I shout it from the rooftops, like, yeah, it could help, but I don't know. One of my yoga teachers always said, fear is excitement without breath. So when you take a breath, you know, you're scared, you don't breathe. But when you're excited, you have a lot of breath and a lot of, you know, just a lot of like room to shout and like be this big thing. You know, I think about that a lot when I get into those like, oh, I don't know if I want to talk about this, you know, like I'm scared to put this out there. You know, I remember to just like stop, take a breath. And that always helps. Like it always helps to just ground me, bring me back down. And then, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm actually really excited about this. I really need to share this thing. And I really want like everyone who needs to know about this, I want them to know about it.
And there is, like, when you're in that breathless place, you're, like, spinning up in your head.
Right.
It's usually when I've spent too much time on social media, and I see all the voices, all the other people yes. saying things, or other people reacting to what other people are saying. Mm-hmm. And that is a very unsteady feeling.
Right.
And not grounded.
Yep. Yeah. You know, like, the more I get into business coaching now, the more I realize like I needed the photography to help me like establish my name. I needed the yoga to help ground me and just open me up to this new limitless possibilities. Really, I mean, there's what, 7 billion people on the planet, or 8, or there's a lot of people on the planet. Chances are you are going to find your people, especially if you're shouting it from the rooftops, right? Like, so don't let the fear overcast you, you know, if you're ready or thinking about making a change, you know, whether that's from corporate to entrepreneurship, or if you're in entrepreneurship and you want to, you know, shift your business, like don't be afraid of the change. Embrace the change.
Embrace the change. I love that. So if someone's in the place where they're in corporate and they are like, okay, cool, I'll embrace the change, but I want to like baby step it. And I want to like, you know, I want a side hustle. I want to test this first.
Right.
Like user experience designers, I'm like, let's test it.
Right. Yeah. Like,
let's get feedback and figure it out. Because mm-hmm. sometimes things make sense in our heads of like, oh, that's an awesome idea. And then you go and do it and you're like, wow, this really sucks and isn't what I thought it would be at all.
Yeah. I mean, take the baby steps, right? Don't be afraid to like go all in. But also if it feels better to do it a little bit at a time, do it a little bit at a time, right? You are in control of how quickly things grow or don't grow. And again, it comes down to choice. Do you love your main job? If so, great, have a side hustle. Like do it a little bit at a time. If you're not so crazy about your 9-to-5, like maybe you want to jump all in. So, you know, again, like embracing that change, just understanding that you're in control. Don't forget to breathe. Things are going to be scary and crazy and weird, and that's okay. And as a lot of yogis will say, sit in the discomfort and breathe through it. You know, but that's really true. Like being able to like be in that place of like, oh, I'm not so sure about this, and I feel like things are changing, and I don't know if I want it to change this fast or not. You know, like sometimes you just have to ride that wave and let it be what it's going to be. And do your thing.
And something just hit me in like how important it is to talk about what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because through talking about it, you're creating connection with other people.
Right. Yeah.
Like it's an opportunity to ask right. for help, to yeah. ask for support, to have other people cheer for you and follow along with you right. so that you don't feel so alone.
Exactly. And that's where like social media as much as I sometimes despise social media, and I think that's because I've grown up with it, right? Like when I was in high school, MySpace was a thing, and which goes to show you just how old I am now. Some people listening might not even know what MySpace is. Anyway, so, you know, like I remember when Facebook like came out, and I remember when my college got Facebook, and it was like, oh, wow, we have Facebook. This is a thing. And then I remember Instagram, and like, I remember all these things, and you know, they're for the most part free, right? Anyone can go on there and sign up for an account, and really utilizing that free platform to shout from the rooftops, like, hey, I'm doing this thing. I'm a little scared and I'm not quite sure if I'm doing it right, but I'm going to bring you along for the ride. And here's what I'm doing. You know, can you help me? I think that is something we sometimes take for granted, you know, especially today when we're so connected, right? Like, I feel like you can talk to anyone anywhere just at about any time you want. I think we forget that we have these free things at our fingertips that can really help us.
Absolutely. And like even just how important that is and how much time it takes once you do find your thing after shouting right. and shouting and shouting and getting clients and, you know, getting consistent. Like, I just had my uncle texted me yesterday, totally out of the blue, and was like, hey, Amanda, I need a website. I was like, oh, great. Let's get on a call, Uncle Brian. But I've been doing this for however many years, like,
okay.
since 2017.
Right.
And, yep. like, my family knows what I do now, which is cool. Like, but it takes that long.
It does.
And there's no, for like that kind of traction, it doesn't take that long to get your first client. It doesn't take that long to like
right.
build your business and get the ball rolling. But it's the impact of getting that ball rolling. You'll see the impact
right.
of that later.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, definitely. It's the snowball effect, right? You start with this little tiny snowball, and then you roll it down the hill, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That's funny. I just this last summer took photos of my mom's side of the family, like a big family photo shoot, and my aunt. It's their 50th wedding anniversary this summer, and she's like, I always just forget that you're a photographer. And I'm like, okay, it's only been 15 years, but that's okay.
Yep.
Still love them. But yeah, when people are ready for your services, they will absolutely come.
That's another great point, because all the times that you're telling people what you're doing, sometimes people just aren't in the place to receive that.
Right. Yes.
Because they're not at the point of needing you.
Yep.
And so that's why we have to keep repeating ourselves 50 times.
Yeah.
Because on that 50th time might be intersected with when they do need you.
Yeah.
And that's when they'll take action.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's like having a toddler and trying to potty train them. And you ask, are you listening to your body? And the answer is yes, but then an accident happens. And they're not really listening to their body. But then somewhere along the way, something clicks. And all of a sudden, at least my four-year-old, she'll jump up, Mommy, I have to go to the potty. I'm listening to my body as she's like running down the hallway to the bathroom.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny. That's so true.
It is. It is. It's so funny. Like the first time she did it, I was like, I don't know whether to laugh because it's the cutest thing I've seen, or whether I'm like so proud that you were actually listening to what I was saying, because again, I sometimes feel like a broken record saying the same thing over and over and over. But again, when she was ready to receive that, she received it, and now she's good to go.
Well, and it's she needed to internalize what that meant mm-hmm. and associate it to the feeling in her body.
Right.
To know what to do with it and know what you were talking about.
Yep.
And to have that context. That's so true.
Yeah.
And it's we are like building the relationship between whatever the pain point is that we're solving
yep.
through our business
mm-hmm.
and us.
Right.
And our business.
Yep.
To the people that we're speaking to.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a while to build that connection.
Right.
Of like, oh, like a lot of my entrepreneur friends now are like, oh, when I think of websites, I think of you.
Right.
And I'm like, great.
Yeah.
Good. Better.
Perfect.
But it takes a while to do that.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It totally does. I mean, and the same could be, you know, you could replace child with dog or cat, you know, right? You could replace that with anything. So, you know, it's just that it's learning, you know, being in a constant state of learning, of practice, of, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. So as we're like learning through this process, what are some of the mistakes that you see people make when trying to start their own business or trying to start their side hustle?
So I think trying to go too big, too quick, right? Trying to get those like $1 million clients like right out of the gate versus trying to maybe pick up some of the smaller clients, not so like high ticket items or high ticket clients right away. You know, I see that where people are like, yeah, I'm going to help millionaire clients because I want to be a millionaire, which is great. But also, you got to do a little work before you're ready for the millionaire clients. If that's your goal, great. But like, do the work prior to build that. I also see people focusing on the little minute details, right? So like, yeah, brand colors are important, but maybe not the like $5,000 tasks that you should be working on or could be working on, or spending 5 hours in Canva creating graphics for 5 posts. And when you really could have been talking on your stories or connecting in a different way with clients, like, yeah, those graphics could, maybe they will bring something, but like creating a connection will probably draw a bigger or better client. At least that's definitely one of my procrastination points, is like, I'm going to work on graphics today because I don't feel like talking, you know, like I don't necessarily have anything to say and whatever else. So, you know, like kind of hiding behind some of the little small tiny work rather than tackling some of the bigger things.
Well, ouch. That hurts.
I mean, it's all important, it's all relevant, but sometimes I 100% get stuck in those little tiny details that sometimes don't matter. I mean, they matter, but they don't matter as much as the other ones.
Right. And it usually is a procrastination thing.
It is. Yeah.
It's, I'm going to go build this email automation funnel.
Yeah. Yep.
And then I'll be too tired to actually write the emails to put in the funnel.
Right.
Or to show up on stories to invite people to the thing that the funnel is for.
Right. And then you're like, why isn't anyone signing up for this thing? Because you haven't told them about it.
I built the runway.
I built it, but nobody's signing up for it. I'm actually just like having that happen to me, right? Like I've a free coaching call coming up and I'm like, why isn't anyone signing up for this? And my husband said, well, did you tell anyone about it?
How rude.
And I was like, well, I told a couple people about it. And he's like, well, you can't expect people to sign up for that which they don't know about. And I was like, yep, you're right. Called right out, which is great because I'm an introvert and sometimes I just need someone to call me out on my BS and like to tell me, you know, tell me how it is, because then I'll be like, oh yeah, I am like, I'm hiding. I'm scared no one's going to sign up. So I'm not going to put it out there. And then I'm going to be mad because no one's signing up.
Yes. The self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right. Yep.
Is so true.
Yep.
You mentioned something about $5,000 tasks.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that?
It's something that I've heard a number of different on a number of different podcasts where they'll talk about the $5,000 tasks or the $5 tasks. So $5,000 tasks, meaning things that are going to move your business forward. And not that the $5 tasks won't, but the $5 tasks are going to be those little things that you're like, oh, I have to nitpick this tiny little thing and it's going to take me a while. So I'm not actually doing what I want to be doing. It's kind of that like CEO versus employee mindset. So CEO, $5,000 task, employee, $5 task kind of thing. So like if you put into perspective, like how would a CEO think about launching something? So like for me right now, I'm launching a free coaching call. Like how would I launch that in order to like bring me more clients? And just talking about it, sending newsletters, writing blogs, that kind of thing. Like those are CEO tasks. Whereas like creating the landing page, creating the email funnel, that's kind of more of a $5 task. Is it necessary? Yes, but I can be out there talking about it and creating more evergreen content to, you know, talk about the things that I'm talking about that are going to push my business forward, that will be there for my potential clients for years to come, versus the like email sign up list where it just looks kind of like this little tiny thing over here. So that's what I mean by $5,000 versus $5.
Thank you for explaining that. And mm-hmm. I just want to clarify too that when we're talking about CEO versus employee style tasks, we're really talking about when you have your own business or when when you're stepping into your side hustle role. It's
right.
Because there is a mindset shift that needs to happen.
Yes.
Because when you're in, and not to say that there's anything wrong with the employee mindset, right?
Oh, right. Absolutely.
There's time and place, and that's why you hire people. That's why people hire you. Because
absolutely.
You do the things and you're good at those things.
Right.
And I think it's an interesting point too, talking about side hustling and shifting into business ownership, because I think that's a big part of that shift.
Right. Yep.
And one of the challenges that I faced when side hustling, and I'm wondering if you did too, is that you have to make that shift like every day.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Making the CEO to employee mindset shift it's a huge shift, especially when coming from corporate to entrepreneurship, right? Like that was my biggest hurdle to overcome when I left the corporate world, because I didn't have anyone like holding me to my deadlines. I was the bearer of those deadlines. Mm-hmm. If I met them, great. If I didn't meet them, I didn't have anyone, you know, saying, why didn't you meet this deadline? Other than like my own like mental, you know, stuff. But so when we're thinking about CEO and employee, I like to schedule CEO time where it's like time that I'm working on the business. So, those are also the $5,000 tasks. You know, again, things that are going to drive my business forward. And then I also schedule employee time in my calendar. So things that I'm going to work in the business on. So like creating those graphics, creating the email funnels, creating, you know, I love to be creative, so I could spend all day doing that. But I had to park that as employee time because those are $5 tasks that I could waste my whole day on. And I've never, like, I could work all day on one graphic and not be satisfied with it, right? Like, I can just get that critical about it. So I think it's important to understand those two things. And once I started scheduling CEO and employee time, that really helped level up my business. It kind of helped me just overcome some of that, I would say, imposter syndrome and intrusive thoughts, you know, where it's like, oh, you're doing this, but are you really good enough to be doing what you're doing? Every business owner that I've ever talked to ever has the same, like, oh my God, what if this is a bad idea? What if I'm not making the right choice? What if I should be doing something else? You know, all of those, like, the little devil on your shoulder saying, oh, maybe you're not doing things right. Bye. You know, like, and then you're like, yeah. Wait, no, come back here. Get back here and tell me more about that, because stop it. Like, that's not nice.
That's so true, though. And I love the idea of scheduling it, because I think that we don't think about that. I hadn't thought of this as task switching before, but it's like the biggest sense of task switching to me.
Right.
Of like, you're putting, because we, oh my gosh.
Just like.
I'm so excited.
Mind blown, right?
Like, those $5 tasks are the ones that we don't have imposter syndrome right. around. They're the like doing mm-hmm. things and executing on things, and we can just rock yep. and roll. And we procrastinate on those $5,000 tasks because it requires us to step into that CEO role,
right.
that leadership role mm-hmm. that we might be more uncomfortable with.
Right.
And it requires us to do the things that might be uncomfortable.
Right.
And when we're switching between those tasks, we're switching between those mindsets.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that makes it so much harder to get into that leadership mindset.
Yep.
When we're spending so much time in the doing mindset.
Right, right. And I do find that if I'm in, like, if I've scheduled CEO time and I'm just in one of those like mindset funks where it's like, I am not going to be showing up in a way that's going to be productive during this CEO time. You know, there are times where it's like, okay, making graphics in Canva or Photoshop or wherever I'm working in, you know, like that always makes me feel good. Like I feel creative and I feel like sometimes on top of the world when I'm doing those little tasks, right? Because as an employee, it feels good to like cross things off the list and get things done. And like, so I'll switch and I'll be like, okay, I'm going to work on this for an hour and get into that like really good rhythm of like, yeah, I'm feeling good about myself. I can conquer the world. And then, you know, when that hour or whatever time period is up, then I'll switch back into CEO time and do one of the things that I was planning to do. So like maybe that's get on social media and post links and talk about all the stuff and, you know, connect with others, because then I'm coming from a place of excitement when I'm connecting and talking about it. And I really feel like if you're showing up excited and like, oh my gosh, you guys, this is going to be the best thing since sliced bread. You have to have a piece of this. When you're showing up with that kind of mindset about your business, people are like, oh yeah, what is this? And how can I buy 10 of them? Because you've just sold me based on your emotions of what you're selling.
That's a great point. Because I sometimes fall into like this all or nothing mindset right. where yep. I'm like, oh, well, if I can't get into CEO mode, I can't do anything.
Right. Screw it. The day Screw is it. Over.
Yeah. And if I go into task mode, I'm just going to be stuck there forever. Right. And it's like, oh, right, Amanda, that's not necessarily true. Like, you're human. You have fluid emotion right. and fluid things. And, you know, just like we said at the beginning of this, sometimes you find your way into a different place by going through and actually doing something else.
Right.
By doing those tasks, mm-hmm. you can find your way into the CEO mindset.
Right.
And at least be excited.
Right. 100%. I love that.
Well, darn, I thought I was giving myself a good excuse, and I'm not. Fine, Maggie.
I mean, sometimes you just have to, like, when you're in one of those screw it moods, like, yeah, you need to just close everything down and go take a nap or take a walk outside or whatever that thing is, like take a rest, right? Because as an entrepreneur, we just, at least I know I'm guilty of it, of like working myself to the bone, right? There was before we had Meta, like it was not uncommon for me to work 80 hours a week because I didn't have anything else to do, you know? And then once I had her, I was like, I cannot work 80 hours a week anymore and be present for myself and my family. So something has to change. And, you know, once I started making those changes, I learned how to work smarter, not harder. And that's been really huge for me and for my business and for my family.
You mean there's not like one single answer?
No.
Damn.
Sorry.
I feel like this happens on my podcast sometimes where I'm like, shoot, I was hoping you were just going to give me like one single answer that would do everything. But the answer is, it's different for everyone and you have to listen to yourself and you have to figure it out.
It is. And at the end of the day, you know, it took for me, I had to write down like what was high priority for me. And a lot of my clients too. That's something that right off the bat, first call with a client is like, what is most important to you? And schedule rest into your schedule and then schedule all your other business tasks around that. Before kids, I could spend 3 hours writing an email newsletter. Now that cannot take that long. I just do not have that time. So I had to shorten that up and I still get the same amount done, right? Like sometimes I'm like, how did this used to take me 3 hours to write this? When now I can just like bust it out in 30 minutes and be done. You know, I'm not obsessing over those little things in that email. Like, I made a typo. Well, okay, I'm human, you know? So.
Right. Spoiler alert.
Right? If you're really concerned about my typo, I would gladly let you write my newsletters for me.
Right. Well, and like I said, I don't have kids, but I have started literally this week. So this is new. So I'm not going to pretend like this is like, oh, I found it. I found the silver bullet. Here you go. No, I've done this for 4 days where I've been blocking time on my schedule, though, for myself first.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
yep.
It is kind of like parenting yourself.
It is.
Of like, oh, Amanda, you need to eat food.
Yes.
Like, here is your time to eat food. Mm-hmm. Here is your time to actually work out. Here is like, go outside.
Yep.
And feel sun. Like,
yes.
Do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's so true. Even now with, you know, having Jackson, I have to schedule, like, I get up at 5 a.m. every day and people are like, oh my gosh, why? And I'm like, because from like 5 to 6:30 every single day, I have an hour and a half. The house is quiet. I can have coffee. I don't have to answer to anyone but myself. I take that time to drink my coffee nice and slow. I, you know, do some journaling, some mindset work, and just make sure that I'm like in a good place. And I can tell when I don't do it. Like yesterday, I didn't do it. And I felt like yesterday was like crazy. Just the whole day felt very chaotic. So this morning when I woke up, you know, I wanted to hit snooze, but I thought, no, you know what? I need to get up. And I love hitting snooze. Like I love that snooze button. Probably a little too much. But, you know, like, just get up and drink your coffee. You will be happier that you got up, drank the coffee, and did some journaling. Get all the crap out from your head that doesn't necessarily need to be up there. Write some good thoughts for yourself and move on with your day. Like you will feel better. And I do feel better.
That's a great reminder. And like that by doing it, it reinforces.
It does.
That it is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So I have one final question for you, Maggie.
Okay.
Okay. So you're in an elevator.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. You're in an elevator.
Okay. And
someone comes on and turns and asks you, how can I be happy in my career? What do you tell them?
Oh, well, mindset is everything. You have the choice to be happy. So choose the things that make you happy. Choose how you find joy in your day to day. And, you know, you can't let everyone else's opinion ruin your your career, your life, because everyone has an opinion about literally everything. So choose your joy. Choose what makes you happy.
Beautiful. That's such a great answer and such a great reminder to everyone listening. Where can everyone find you to connect with you and follow along on your journey?
Yeah, so I am on Instagram and Facebook as Maggie Lynn Creative. I'm also on Pinterest. I think it's Maggie Lynn Creative. I'm not sure. It might also be ML Photography and Design, which is my photo company. And then on the web, you can find all my stuff on MaggieLynnOlson.com.
Awesome. And I know you have a bunch of links and things all put together at MaggieOlson.com/links as well, right? Perfect.
Yes.
And of course, that's all in the show notes for you. So super easy to go and hang out with Maggie and say hey and share something that resonated with you from this episode or any actions that you're deciding to take after listening to this. So thank you. Thank you, Maggie, so much for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you. I had a blast.
Thank you for listening to the UX Hustle podcast. To continue these conversations, you can follow us on Instagram at the UX Hustle or join our Slack community through the link in our show notes. If you love this episode, please write a review and subscribe.